Hey guys, welcome to my office. It's my privilege and honor to introduce to you today Brian Hunsberger. He is a local here on the Sunshine Coast with Youth of the Mission, teaching in the School of Biblical Studies and helping to lead that. Today he's going to kick off a new series for us about pioneering again, stepping out in faith into the vision that God has for us. And this is going to culminate over the next few weeks on the 28th of February with an all-in gathering when we come together to see what God's got for us moving forward as Good Life. And so enjoy today, enjoy this message, but also be asking yourself, what's my participation in this as we move forward together into the future that God has for us? Enjoy this message.
Hi, Good Life. So excited to chat to you guys. My name is Brian. If you haven't met me, I am the director, one of the directors at Youth with a Mission here on the Sunshine Coast, and proud father of four beautiful kids and a husband of a wife way out of my league. Ryan, he called me and asked if I wanted to share on the topic of pioneering and stepping out in faith. And I was so excited because that's one of my favorite topics. I don't even want to say topics. I want to say things to do or to live through and to see God do the miraculous when you step out in faith. And so I wanted to share a few stories and things that my wife and I have walked through and are currently walking through. And I hope that there's some stuff in here that you guys are encouraged by and enjoy. So it kind of started for us. Well, actually, before it wasn't us, it was just me here on the Sunshine Coast. I left Canada when I was 18. I typed into Google, Australia, surfing, and then I felt guilty, so I typed in the word Christian. And then what popped up was Youth with a Mission, surfing, DTS, whatever. I had no idea what YM was, so I just applied, got accepted. I thought that was a big deal. Didn't know that everybody gets accepted and they're actually praying for people to apply. But anyways, so came to Australia, loved it, fell in love with Jesus, did cross-cultural missions trip, bought a monkey in East Timor, not allowed to share that. But anyways, it was an amazing time, and then came back and I wanted to staff. So I staffed a school, but I realized real fast as an 18-year-old, I shouldn't be leading if I don't know a thing about the Bible. And so I was working on an application to go to seminary, and I wanted to go study the Bible for 4 years so that I was ready to come do missions. And thankfully, the base director at the time, he was walking past and asked what I was doing. And I said, I want to study for 4 years so that I can do missions. And he said, oh, don't do that. Just go do an SBS and then come pioneer it here. And I asked him, I said, well, what's an SBS? And he said, it's a School of Biblical Studies. It's a 9-month course, and you study through every book of the Bible, 40, 50 hours a week, just straight Bible, straight through. Do that, then come start it here. I thought for about 5 seconds, then I stuck out my hand and shook his hand and said, deal. And that was it. And looking back, it was crazy to make that sort of commitment as an 18, 19-year-old. But in that moment, I experienced something that you'll see throughout the book of Acts. There's this repeated phrase, and it seemed good to the apostles and the Holy Spirit to go there or to do this. There's that repeated phrase, and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And that moment started. That was the whole call, vision, whatever, was this suggestion and this overwhelming, yeah, it seems good that this is good. This is it. This is what I should do. And so people can kind of overcomplicate the call or vision or whatnot, and they'll be obsessed with seeking confirmations. And just kind of my 2 cents on that is often people want so many confirmations that they're trying to eliminate faith, because you actually don't know that how things are going to turn out. You're just going along for the ride. For me, how I view life is that my father is at work and he's saying, do you want to be a part of what I'm doing? And I say, heck yes, and I'm along for the ride. And so don't over spiritualize it. Don't overcomplicate it. There might be that overwhelming and it seems good to you and the Holy Spirit that this is what God wants you to do. And so we went for it. I went to Montana first for a few years to, what's the Christian word? Pursue my wife. I was going to say stalk, but that's not right. Pursue my wife, and she's way out of my league, but we ended up together. And so we came down here to pioneer the School Biblical Studies, and we had nothing. We had nothing. We were praying in everything. And so one story I want to share quickly is we were sitting in my living room right before the first school started. We had a handful of students. We had set up a garage as a classroom, and we sat, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, about a week before the school started, and we just prayed to God for three things. We said, God, school's about to start. We need a printer. The students need to print their work. We don't have a printer. We don't have any money for a printer. God, we also need curtains for one of the bedrooms doesn't have curtains, and we need curtains. And the third thing we prayed and asked God for was a ping pong table for the students, because that would be dope. So we prayed, we asked God, and then at about 9 o'clock, I got the first phone call from some a lady at a place called Berwick's down on Aerodrome Road. She said, hey, I was just looking at local charities and found you guys online. Do you guys have any need for printers? And I said, yes. And she said, well, we're replacing all of our floor models, all of our display models. So we're trying to find a charity to take all of our photocopiers, scanners, and printers. Would you guys be interested? And I said, heck yes. She said, well, bring a trailer because there's a lot of gear. And I think there was like four or five photocopiers, like so many printers, scanners, like too much. Like every student had their own printer. It was just crazy. So we got that. Another phone call came in about half hour later, and she said, hey, I just went to IKEA, got some curtains, but they're the wrong size and they were on sale, so I can't return them. Do you guys have any need for a curtain? I said, what's the size? She told me the size. They were the exact size. Bingo, 2 for 3. Then I get a call from a guy named Craig Ross, and he was cleaning out his garage. He was building a studio or needed more room for his Mazda Tribute or something. And he said, hey, my son's ping pong table is taking up space in the garage. He's never used it. I'm tired of looking at it. Would you guys want a ping pong table for your school? And I said, heck yes. So by 10 o'clock, God had answered those three specific prayers. And that's just a snapshot of the stuff God does when you're pioneering, and it's something that I really, really miss. I miss that because now, if we need a ping pong table, we budget for it. But when you're pioneering and you don't have anything and you're stepping out in faith, you're relying on God to do the miraculous, to bring in these things that you can't do on your own. And so that's why I love this topic, is because you're doing something that is bigger than you and stuff that you can't do. And so it's exciting to partner with God and what's on His heart. And so my question for you guys is to ask, what seems good to the Holy Spirit and to you of something you should take a step of faith in and have a go with? So yeah, I hope that those stories encourage you. A few years ago, I was at a buddy's wedding, and it was an outdoor wedding on this huge, incredible property, and everything was beautiful. And at one point during the night, I was standing there chatting to some friends, and I, in the corner of my eye, I saw the bride with her bridesmaids going over to the corner where the portaloos were. And the brides had their phones, their flashlights on, and one bride was holding the door open and holding her dress, and it was just this ordeal because the bride had to go to the toilet. And I started thinking, this isn't right. A bride shouldn't have to do this, facing her whole party on her wedding night. And so I had a weird idea of what if there was a better option for portaloos at weddings. And so I had this discussion with my wife, and kind of one of those moments where it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. We had a total peace about having a go at this business where we create these tiny home toilets to rent at weddings. And I figured I've been in ministry for a decade, so I've been taking crap from people for years, so I might as well get paid for it. We do this. We take a step of faith into the business world, and I strategically wanted a business that wouldn't conflict with the ministry, that I could run on weekends, that I could do as a family, that we could start and stop around my teaching schedule when I travel. And so this we really felt was a good idea from the Lord that we wanted to take a crack at. And so I designed what I wanted, and I got some quotes, and we said, all right, I think we have just enough money to build one of these toilets. And so we went for it. And if you have ever started a business, you know that things cost twice as much as you think they will, that they take twice as long as you think they will, and it's usually twice as hard as you think it's going to be. And I didn't know that. And so everything kind of started getting more expensive and out of control, and all of a sudden I just ran out of money. I was broke and I was extremely stressed out, and one night I got really irritated with the kids, and my wife and her loving patience says, why don't you go for a walk? You're obviously stressed out. And so I didn't go for a walk. I went and I poured a glass of red wine and I sat down on my front lawn looking at this toilet, this portable toilet that's half finished, and I started thinking, what the heck did I do? I am completely out of control. I've missed the mark. You know, I've screwed up big time. And my neighbor, he just whizzes past on his bike, and he kind of ropes around and comes back and says, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm just having a bad night. He said, why? I said, the toilet thing and whatever. And I didn't give much details, just said, I'm just overwhelmed. And he said, it'll be all right. So he leaves, and I regroup. I go back inside, put the kids down. And then it was 10 o'clock, about an hour later, there's this knock on the door, and it was my neighbor and his wife. And we didn't know them very well. And he hands me an envelope and he says, here's $10,000 cash. He says, you have to finish this. He goes, it's a good idea. It's going to work. I believe in you. You got to finish it. And he says, this is a loan. I'll never mention it again. There's no interest. Pay it back whenever you want, but you got to finish this. And I just was stunned, just staring at him. And then he just says, and remember, God works in mysterious ways. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. And he walks away. He's not a believer. And him and his wife just walk, arms around each other. And I was just stunned. I go back into the kitchen and I look at my wife and I was like, they just gave us 10,000 bucks to finish this portable toilet. And so that was enough money to finish the job. And then I finish it, but then I'm like, shoot, we got to rent this out. We got to figure out how to do this. And we feel like this was something that we were led to do, but I don't know how to run a business. And so I'm at Good Life Cafe and I'm ranting to someone about how stressed out I am about I finished the toilet, but now I don't know where to get any clients. And then this angel arrives named Ruth Jeffs, and Ruth walks up and she looks stressed out. And I said, what's going on with you? And she goes, oh, my son's wedding's coming up and they've just told me I'm in charge of finding a toilet to hire. And she's like, I don't know the first thing about hiring a toilet for a wedding. So just pause that. So if I'm just thinking statistically, what are the chances of me ranting about not knowing how to rent out a portable toilet to Ruth Jeffs being like, I don't know where to find a portable toilet? And you look at my books, invoice 0001, Ruth Jeffs, mates rates. And it was one of those moments where God just said, I'm in this, keep going, because he's about what we're passionate about. He is in the midst of our day-to-day, whether it's a ministry or whether a business. He cares, and it's these little moments. God's going to give you these little moments throughout your life where you hang on to it, like whether it's Craig calling with a ping pong table or Ruth saying, I need to hire a toilet. These little moments to me mean the world, because it's like God looking at me saying, I care about what you're doing. I'm doing something, and just hang in there. Let's do this together. So look for those little gifts, those little affirmations, because they're gonna be what you can hold on to through the tough times. And look for those gifts and enjoy them, because God cares about what you're doing and wants to be a part of what you're doing. So we ran the school biblical studies for 10 years, and every year it got bigger. We got more staff, we got more students, and everything was going really well. Then all of a sudden COVID hit, and it was a Friday morning. I had to tell all the staff and students, you guys got to go home like immediately this weekend. And it was one of the worst days that I've had in ministry. I was weeping. I told the school, and then I just went in a room by myself and just wept. Then my email box inbox just starts filling up with wedding cancellations. Like every single wedding just cancel, postpone, cancel. And then they all wanted their refunds back. And it was the most overwhelming season of basically sending all the staff and students home, and then on a personal front, the business basically coming to a complete halt right after we put everything we got into building a second toilet. So it has been the last year since COVID has been this huge kind of time of processing for me of, am I a failure? Did I do something wrong? Should I have done something different? But it's also been a really good time to remember that your business, the ministry, whatever you do is not your identity. It's not who you are, and it's not a reflection of you as a person. And so I've had to refocus and ask the question, all right, well, why am I on this earth? Yes, school biblical studies and YWAM and Classy Lou's and all these things that I do are important, but they're not my identity. And so I've asked this question to God, what matters most? What is the most important thing that I should be focused on moving forward? And the answer is so obvious, it's people. And it's this word intentionality, that no matter what I'm doing, it's kind of irrelevant. It's, am I being intentional with the person right in front of me? It doesn't matter if I'm doing school biblical studies or at a wedding expo, I can be intentional with that person right in front of me. And through COVID, if I were gonna be 100% honest, I have been more missional and more focused on furthering the kingdom in my physical neighborhood than I have been in the last decade. I've been so less distracted with flying all over the world doing missions, and I'm just focusing on, I wonder how my physical neighbor is doing, the guy next door, I wonder how he's doing. I know the guy next door, his wife's fighting with cancer. I know the guy over there, he's going through some marital issues. I know my neighborhood, and I'm intentional with my neighborhood, and that's been a gift that COVID has given me, because as Good Life says, people matter. And so, yes, it's exciting to think through vision and pioneering, but at the end of the day, are you being intentional with that person right in front of you? So my challenge to you in this season of so much change and new vision and wanting to step out and pioneer something new is to not lose sight of the simple fact of people matter, and to see that person right in front of you at the grocery store, your physical neighbor, to be intentional with those people and to not hide behind the title or the vision, because I got caught up in that as well of, you know, I'm a traveling teacher in a missionary organization and I'm really busy doing this stuff, but I wasn't paying much attention to the people that actually lived next door to me. So keep an eye out for them. People matter, and God wants to use you where you're at, no matter what you're doing. In this silent place where the darkness reigns.